The scripture reading is taken from James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Again, the New Living Translation. It reads, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmer who patiently waits for the rains in the fall, and in the spring they eagerly look for the valued harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Somebody says, I've heard this. This has been said for over 2,000 years. It's still true. Jesus is coming soon. We know that Jesus is coming because the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back. God the Son has said it himself. He's coming back. So what does that mean, he's coming soon? That word soon is an adverb, and it means in a very short period of time. A very short period of time. But let's think on that. It's all relative to who is doing the speaking here. I think it's Proverbs 90 and verse 4. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But it says over there that 1,000 years is to the Lord as a what? As a day. As a day. Here we see Jesus using the prophetic utterance regarding the destruction of Jerusalem as recorded in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Here Jesus blends the prophecies of the destruction of Jerusalem with the coming of the end of time. The apostles and other writers understood long after this was written that the two events were separated by a vast difference in time. The book of Jude was written to encourage followers of Christ to hold to the truth of God's word. Just like today, there were those in that day and time who would try to pull the faithful away from the truth. Somebody say amen. Halfway through the letter, Jude reminds the readers that Jesus would come again. The fact that Jesus will return excites some, while to others it makes for a very bad day. Do you ever, I won't ask that question. I was going to put to you tonight, do you ever worry about that? Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night wondering if Jesus is coming? But I'll tell you something, if you died, when you die, Jesus has come for you already. Why do you say that, Brother Stone? Because a great preacher in Ecclesiastes said it himself. He said, as the tree falls, that's the way it will lay. Let us examine some scriptures that details what will take place on that day. The Bible is very clear that Jesus will return. And John 14, 1 through 4 teaches the words of Jesus. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." This is from the King James Version. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many mansions, more than enough room. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to make ready in advance for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Why are you doing this, Jesus? "That where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Friends, we must not be found when Jesus returns filled with anxiety, trouble, and terrified, lacking faith. The scripture teaches us that to be anxious is, somebody say sin. To be anxious is sin. It's sinful to be anxious, to be that way. That's to show the lack of faith on our part. But we must believe in God the Father and in God the Son, Jesus the Christ. Speaking of Jesus the Christ, I believe it was in Matthew 1 and verse number 21 where it was said, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapters 4 and the verses 13 through 17, we are taught the circumstances surrounding the coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17, it teaches, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to ignore or have a lack of knowledge concerning those which are asleep or those which are dead in Christ, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. My friends, when it said God will bring with him, he's not talking about from the earthly grave. He's talking about from their rest in paradise. Matthew 24 and verse 35 through 36, it teaches, the world is temporal and that God's word is eternal. Heaven and earth, it says, our solar sphere, our stratosphere, our atmosphere shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. Friend, three short points tonight, and the lesson is complete. Point number one, Jesus is coming soon with the purpose of judgment. From the New Living Translation, Jude 1, verses 14 through 16, it teaches, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied of these people. He said, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones, of his angels, to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every man of the ungodly things they have done, and for the insults that the ungodly have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and complainers. They are living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. Do you fear the Lord? We don't want to be self-centered if we fear the Lord. Is that right? I would recommend that we all take a self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, so that we can prove whether we have any of these condemning character traits. If we pass this test, it proves that that Jesus is in us and that we are in Jesus. Is that all right? Jesus is coming soon. We don't know whether he's coming, Brother Fred, at morning, night, or noon. But we do know this, that many will meet their doom at the second advent of Christ. Matthew 16 and verse number 14, we must know who Jesus is. Jesus' original purpose was to seek and to save the lost. But we must also know what his purpose will be at his second coming. Is that all right? Jesus will not come as our Savior, but as our judge. It would be wise for us to repent and come to Jesus, to be baptized into himself, into his body, into his church, right away. We might even use the word soon. In his church, in his body, is salvation, pending our obedience to God's word. Colossians 1 and verse number 18. There in Acts 4 and verse number 12, it teaches us that salvation is not found in any other under the heavens given among man, and not in any other name under the heaven given among men, but Jesus only. Romans 2 and verse number 10 teaches of Jesus as an impartial judge. My friends, if we commit a crime, how do we want to stand? We don't want to stand before a judge that's partial, do we? A judge that might not like you because of race, color, creed, or a national origin or this type of thing. We want to stand before a judge that's impartial. Is that right? Jesus, Romans, it teaches there that he has no respect of person. No one can know a person's thought except that person. Except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. God's spirit, God's purpose, God's will is revealed to us in his word. Is that right? Hebrews 11 and verse number 1. Sometimes we find ourselves listening to man. And the book of Matthew 16 and verses 14 through 18, over there it teaches about what some say. Some say. Man sometimes because of man feels that he's very intelligent, and some of us are, but not to the extent that Jesus is. Man uses his minute knowledge of what some say, reasoning himself who Jesus is, instead of taking Jesus at his word. Matthew 16 and verse 14, over there Jesus asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto Christ, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonas, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. The truly wise will abase themselves to study God's word for spiritual answers." For example, we cannot assume I learned in college will get us in trouble. I won't break it down the way the professor did, but you probably heard the same thing. It gets us both into trouble. Sometimes spouses will say concerning their spouse, "I know what you're thinking." No, you don't. You don't know what your spouse is thinking. You only have some idea because of what they may have done in their actions, okay? You don't have ESP or ESPN. Some spouses say, "You should have known what I wanted. We've been married long enough." We mustn't assume. Sometimes marriages are broken up because of assumptions. Is that all right? I assume this or I assume that. Sometimes trouble comes to the church because someone assumes. But Jesus does not assume anything. He knows the depth of our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to do, even while we're planning what we plan to do. Not only will Jesus' judgment be impartial, but totally different from man's judgment. Man may choose wrong over right. Man may choose friend over someone that they're not well acquainted with. Jesus' judgment is righteous. 2 Timothy 4:8, and all that love his appearing will receive a crown of life. John 5 and verse 27, God has given Jesus, the teachers of God have given Jesus the duty to judge mankind. God the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. It said in John 5 and 22. Point number two. Jesus will return to convict those who don't obediently believe. What do you mean by that, Brother Jimmy? Well, you must not have been in Bible study this morning when Brother Montgomery did a fine job talking about obedient belief. Sometimes people say, I believe in God. But does that mean that they believe in God to the extent that they would do his will? That they would take steps toward their own soul salvation? In the book of Philippians 2, in the verses 10 through 13, coming from the King James Version, it teaches that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of his Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. My friends, I want you to know tonight that talk is cheap. James 1 and verse number 19, it says, to be slow to speak and quick to hear. James 1 and verse 22 teaches that we should be doers of God's word and not hearers only. When we are hearers only, we're only deceiving ourselves. The question is, who is this quick-speaking, loud-mouthed braggart deceiving? Not man or God, but himself only. Point number three. What are some of the deeds we do or fail to do that are counterproductive to salvation? What will be judged specifically when Jesus comes? The works that we do or fail to do will have eternal consequences when Jesus comes. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 2, it teaches from the New Living Translation, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do so evermore. God shows no respect to person because God cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2. His word, God's word, is truth. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9 through 10 teaches, whether we are here in the body or away from this body, our goal is to please him, to please God. For because we all must stand before Christ to be judged, we will each receive whatsoever we deserve for what we've done in this earthly body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We all have one thing in common. We have the way to salvation set before us. I believe that most every home in Huntsville, Madison County, has a Bible. That Bible may be used as a bookend. That Bible may be used as an ornament on a bookshelf. But every one of us, the majority of us, have Bibles in our homes. We have God's way and His will made available to us. But friends, I'm here to tell you that we will be judged by our words as well on the last day. James 1 and verse 27 states that if we fail to control the things we say, then our religion is worthless or vain. The consequences are clear for those who obey. John 14, 1 through 3, New Living Translation. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come again to get you. You hear what he said? When everything is ready, some of us better be getting ready before everything is ready. Is that right? And you can see how much he loves us. He said, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. For those who rebel, Revelation 21 and verse number 8 of the same translation. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, and the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of sulfur. This is the second death. Someone said, you mentioned the second death just about every time you get a chance to speak. Yes. Isn't that wise, Brother Hewlett, to mention the second death? What a warning if some of us may be alive when Jesus comes back. I don't know. But I can tell you that you can avoid the second death. It's up to you and it's up to me. I have a question for you tonight. Why wait to be judged and convicted of ungodliness? We have instructions for godly living. We must not wait another day. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in an accepted time. In the day of salvation have I succored, or I have helped you or aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Accepted time. There's no repentance, I'm told, beyond the grave. It's too late, isn't it? When we die, it's too late. Now, while we're still alive, while we're still in our bodies, while we're still in our bodies. That's another term I love to use. I have something very valuable inside of this temple that you're looking upon right now, and that's my soul. I must make preparations for a dwelling place for my soul. Let us look at Revelation 22 and verse number 20. New Living Translation, it teaches, he who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. When Jesus comes, we must not be found unprepared to meet him. We must accept Jesus, the Christ, as our Lord and Savior through baptism. Baptism, which is essential to salvation. Some say, you hear that? Some say it's not. But my Bible says that it is. Because my Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it says that baptism does now save us. God has a plan of salvation for the souls of men. We must follow God's plan and not the plan of man. We must hear and believe the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse number 17. We must repent of past sins. Luke 13 and 3. Repent or perish. We must come confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus said it himself, if you do not confess me before man, I will not confess you before the Father which is in heaven. We must be baptized, that is to say, immersed in water for remission of our sins. Matthew, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. The great commission over there tells us to go into all the world and teach the gospel, to preach the gospel, and who the believers will and shall be baptized. Those who do not believe shall be condemned. We must live faithful lives in Christ Jesus until death. Doing so, we will receive a crown of life. What does that mean, Brother Stone? A nice piece of ornament or jewelry? No, it means eternal life. We must stay faithful even unto death, even though we're persecuted, even though we're lied upon, Hewlett. You ever been lied upon? Lied upon, talked about, downtrodden, but we must be faithful even unto death. In the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, in the verse of number 10, it teaches us that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It is baptism that puts us into Christ Jesus, wherein perfection and salvation is. Galatians 3 and 27 teaches that for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. We must not hesitate. Whatever your need is tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand. The song of invitation will be led by our song leader, and we're going to ask you, if you have desire prayer for any reason, we're going to ask you to please stand, remain standing, and let us know what we can do to help you, whether it be prayer. The Bible teaches that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we're going to ask you to let us know whether you've been properly taught and wish to be added to the body of Christ through baptism.